WWE's performance training program, NXT, has made me fall in love with wrestling all over again. And Finn Balor, after beating Adrian Neville last night, had me jumping off my couch. I'm 38 years old, okay? I'm going to be 39 this year.
That's old.
But when Finn... when Finn Balor beat Adrian Neville at the NXT quarterly special Wednesday night, I leapt off my couch and proceeded to crawl around on the floor imitating him, including getting all up in my wife's grill about it.
You nerd.
Hello, and welcome to Rattlegem Broadcasting's presentation of the Metal Hammer of Doom. I am your host, the Mandator Reporter, and frankly, I'm exhausted, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And that voice you hear, that man who can't wait for his introduction, that, of course, is the original author of the Hammer of Doom news report from 401manias.com's Music Zone, Mr. Robert Cooper. How do you do, sir?
See, I missed the end of that main event because I got called back home and yelled at and threatened to get kicked out and put a GPS on my car. I don't know. Family. Love them. Anyways, NXT Rival was awesome. I had one of the best women's matches I've seen in a long time. Had Finn Balor and Adrian Neville ripping things to shreds. It had Bull Dempsey doing one of the best botches ever. Where they did the Cactus Clothesline, and he didn't go over, so he's like, shit, I'm just going to throw myself over. Bull Dempsey. He's so fat and generic.
So I have a question. Why is your mom still treating you like you're 12?
I really don't know. So it's kind of annoying.
You when do you graduate?
Next year.
Next
spring.
Like, so not this coming May, but May 2016.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, freedom's just around the corner, Mr. Robert Cooper. Freedom's just around the corner. But you did not really. So you did recently get to get off the ranch. You got a night out out of your slave quarters. Go ahead. Why don't you talk about the Napalm Death concert?
Funny thing. I was like, hey, I'm like, is it okay if I go to this metal show in New Winston tonight? And my mom's like, oh, where's it at? I'm like, Ziggy. She goes, that place has a bad reputation. And I'm thinking, I think I've heard of like one or two like stabbings maybe, but that was like over like a few, you know, span of a few years. You know, it's a club. Things are going to happen. So I'm like, can I go? And she's like, well, I don't think I'm comfortable with you going by yourself. What about Nick? I'm like, well, Nick said no. So eventually she's like, I'll just pay for Nick. But she's convinced that I'm going to die there. I'm like, they're my people. She's like, they're not your people. Your family's your people. They just have the same interests as you. I'm like, no, they're my people, really. And you know what happened that entire concert? Buddy Nick stood pretty much around the same spot and headbanged the whole time. Like, I can't get either of my parents to understand that while she thinks that it's like a fucking, like festival of booze and cocaine or something. It's really like 80% of people that are standing in one spot and headbanging and like 20% of them in a circle, like kicking things and pushing each other and, you know, a few assholes, but you know,
You know what I find ironic about your situation? When I was a teenager, I mean, 14, 15 years old, I started going to, when I started high school, I had friends, when I was in the ninth grade, I had friends that were in the 10th grade, and those friends were all metalheads, and they would include me in their trips into Manhattan. We lived on Long Island. They would include me into their trips to Manhattan to go see concerts. And my mother was like, listen, as long as you're getting good grades in school and you come home right after and you get up the next morning to go to school, I would much prefer to see you go to concerts in the city than, like, hanging around the neighborhood getting into God only knows what trouble. Like, my mother encouraged me to do this kind of stuff, and I find it ironic that I hear your situation, and now, mind you, you're also, like, in your 20s, aren't you?
Hey, I'm 23 and I'm kind of a big guy, so like nobody really fucks with me.
Yeah, you're like this big burly bearded mother. You're like Bull Dempsey over there.
Doom, 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 boom!
Boom! Da 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 da.
Good. Oh. Yes.
And your mother is like, you know, turning into Adam Sandler. They're all gonna laugh at you.
Yeah, like she has, neither of her must get that get metal. Like they think it's. Well, I mean, yeah, it is kind of violent, and a little debaucherous at times. But really,
do you need my mother to call your mother?
It wouldn't do
it. Do you want my
good.
Mother? Just like talk to her. Like, listen, I let my son, 25 years ago, go to metal shows. It's really okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think she just wanted me to, like, she didn't want me to be there alone. She's like, you're going to say
okay.
something. I'm like, I'm pretty quiet at metal shows. I'm like, I talk to some people. Most of the time I pay attention to the music. And speaking of the music, we'll go ahead and get into that, since I know you're tired, and the album we're reviewing is pretty damn cool. So,
yes.
We missed the first band. I don't even remember their name. There was actually a decent amount of merch. We came in during Ringworm, or right at the beginning of the band Ringworm, who are some, like, a death metal band. So, like, their first song music, we're like, yeah, they're pretty good. And by the fourth song, we're like, hey, the first song again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those bands, all their songs sound the same. So, like, you know, they're one of those bands, they're like, it's okay. Like, you know, they're okay for a few good headbangs, but they weren't anything special. But after them, we got an awesome, awesome, awesome band. Have you ever heard of Iron Reagan? I'll take that as a no. Iron Reagan.
No, I've never heard of Iron Reagan.
Isn't that the best band name ever? Like all their shirts
It's not as good as Goat Whore, but it's up there.
Like all their shirts have Ronald Reagan on them somehow. But they're the guys, a few of the guys from Municipal Waste, like the singer. They got the same singer and the bassist Landfill is the guitarist and Iron Reagan. And they're kind of like a crossover band. I think you'd really like them. Like, if you like DRI and stuff like that, they're pretty awesome. They have a song, New York Gets an Asshole.
If they're on Spotify, I'll check them out.
Yeah, they're on there. They have a song called Your Kid's an Asshole. It is 6 seconds, and it just says Your Kid's an Asshole like four times. It's great.
Nice.
And they have a shirt that has Ronald Reagan holding up a kid, and that, like, you know, there's like a big just like blood stain on the kid's head, and on the back it says Your Kid's an Asshole. And I'm like, I want to buy that shirt, but I can't wear it anywhere. Literally nowhere. But I mean, they were awesome. I was kind of bummed I didn't buy any of their merch, but I only had so much money. They were so cool. They were so much fun. Like, I'm not a big punk guy, and I was just like, this is so, so awesome. I'm an instant fan of them. So after them, Exhumed, they were awesome. I mean, if you know Exhumed, you know what you're getting. And, I mean, they were real solid technically. They sounded great. The pit was dead for them, though. That pit was just nothing. There's like three kids in it. And I'll tell you, I didn't get into the pit all night. I stood at the edge of the pit, and I mean, it was not bad. Like, you know, I had to shove a few people back. Though, my buddy Nick at Band Avalon Steel, their singer Tommy was there. And Tommy noticed this one neck, like, hipster-looking neck beard that was there, that anytime someone got near him in the pit, he would glare at him. So Tommy decided to jump in the pit and literally ran to that guy every single time. And the neckbeard guy just started, like, kicking him, like, trying to kick him out of the way. And, like, every time the pit would come back around, he'd run back into the neckbeard until the guy walked away.
Nice.
It's so great.
Bullied somebody in a mosh pit. So how was Napalm Death?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm getting there. Because there's a band before Napalm Death, Voivod. Dude, I wish I would have bought a Voivod shirt. I bought a Napalm Death shirt, but all it was a black shirt with the logo in white. Like, you know, it's nothing special. But Voivod, holy shit, Voivod were amazing. Like, you know, they're kind of proggy, so they had enough, like, tempo changes, and they were a lot of fun. And Snake, the singer, he was real charismatic and fun, and he sounded great. The band was so, so good. And, you know, there was a lot of kind of the older metalheads there, because, you know, Voivod, we never see Voivod here in the South, of course, because they're Canadian. Why would they come here? But it was, you know, it was really awesome. The pit was going crazy for him. And actually, before I get to Napalm Death, there's this guy that looks like Christopher Lee there. Like, he was really old and had hair down to his ass and had a bunch of missing teeth. And he went, I think it was during Iron Reagan. There was the mosh pit, and he straight up did, like, a disco thing. Like, he went, like, kind of crouching down and just rolling, doing his hands in, like, a rolling motion and went all the way through the pit doing that. It was the greatest thing, because me and Nick were like, were we the only ones who saw that? Because it was the greatest thing ever. I've never seen someone do something like some Soul Train shit through the mosh pit, and nobody touched him. The best. So, Napalm Death. They were great. I really, really enjoyed them. Barney looks like he's 30. I know he's not 30, but that guy does not look like he's been in that band for like 20 years. Like, the guy looks great. He sounds great. He's a really charming guy. Like, he actually listens to the crowd. Like, they're like, oh, what's the point? And somebody yelled something. He goes, no, we fucked that up at this point. And they played You Suffer, but they played another song that was a second longer, and they drew, and he's like, how's that like that? Everybody's like, You Suffer. He goes, no, that's a different song. He's like, and then they played You Suffer. He goes, did you see the difference? And I yelled, 1 second. He didn't respond, but he was a really cool guy. They had a fill-in guitarist. I think he was from, I think it was Broken Hope, maybe. I want to say it was Broken Hope, because their guitarist wasn't touring with them this time, or at least not right at the moment. But he did a really good job of filling in. The band was just brutal as shit. I forgot my earplugs, so, like, the day after, like, I had, like, half hearing. Like, I could hear, but I couldn't hear high frequencies very well. It was really kind of weird. But I was good by Sunday. But it was, such a good time. Like, one of the best $20 I've spent in my life to get in there. It was
good
just,
for you.
I was a great, yeah, it was just, it was a great show. It was a great time. Then we ate a Steak and Shake afterwards. Even though my mom was like, I told you to come straight home. I'm like, I was hungry. I just sat and headbanged for, like, you know, what was that? Literally from, like, 6:30 to about 1. So, yeah.
Okay.
Like, that was a long show. So
a
it
couple
was
of things. First of all, you fucked up. I agree with
I didn't
your mother.
Get in the pit.
Okay, that's
I
a whole other bit. That's a whole other issue. But hang on, I have a couple of things that we need to discuss before we jump into this album. Number one, you don't go to the Steak and Shake after a show. You go to the Waffle House, see?
No, we went to Waffle House. It was a shitty Waffle House. We sat there for like about five or ten minutes, and there were about two or three booths open that they hadn't cleaned the entire time. So all pretty much everybody was just like, everybody was either cooking or checking on the current customers. Nobody was cleaning, so me and Nick were like, this is taking too fucking long. So we went to Steak and Shake because yeah, of course you go to Waffle House after anything awesome.
That's right.
But no, we were just like, fuck this. This place seems kind of, it wasn't exactly the best looking Waffle House, and they were like not exactly the best wait staff either. So we were like, fuck them. We're going somewhere else.
Second of all, you didn't get in the pit not even once. Come on now.
I thought about getting in it for Napalm Death, but the Napalm Death pit was fucking insane. Like, the Voivod pit was really crazy, but Napalm Death pit was like a fucking hurricane. Like, I felt so bad for the security because they kept having to pull people down and they'd crowd surf towards the front. Yeah,
you
need
to get in that shit, man. Listen, this is the Metal Hammer of Doom, not, you know, Pussy Willows in the Field. Come on now.
No, I mean, to be fair, it's not the Mosh Pit Hammer of Doom. that's right. I mean, I really did consider it. I'm like, because I thought I was like, Mark would be proud of me if I did this. But I'm like, you know, I'm here to really enjoy the music. That was what I was there
for.
I know.
Listen to me. Jesse Starter wants to know if there was a bitch in the pit. Apparently, you know, there was a bitch outside the pit, and it was you. That's what happened.
Yeah. What can I say? I pushed some guys back. There was a bitch in the pit. She was selling Punk Chick because I had a really, really nice ass, and I think she was about 19. But the reason I knew she was Punk Chick, one, because it was, you know, like the leather jacket with all the spikes, and she had half her head like kind of buzz-cutted. And I will actually say, she was kind of hot, and I'm not into that at all. Like, you know, the piercings and that. I was like, damn, she's pretty hot. But then I noticed she had a boyfriend. And how did I know that she had a boyfriend? Because they had the same haircut. They match. I was like,
kinda
okay.
Kind of like old people in jogging suits.
Right, yeah. Yeah, she jumped in the pit like a few times. Like probably a good like 15, 20 times or something. Like anytime they get too close, they'd get closer, she'd shove one guy back and jump in there. I'm like, you're doing what they want. Like, there were a few assholes. There's this one fucking hardcore, like, fucking douchebag-looking kid with a neck tattoo. He kept running into the audience and starting to try mosh pits there, and everybody's like, dude, just go the fuck away. Like, he needed his ass whipped. And there's this big, bald guy with a giant beard that had his hand wrapped in a shirt that would, like, he'd walk along the edge of the pit and shove people, and he'd stand in the middle of the pit and shove people. Like, kind of an asshole. So I will say, everybody was cool in the pit, because if somebody fell down, they immediately pulled the guy up. That's cool.
Good.
Nope.
Yes.
No trampling down.
All right. Before we just go any further, let me give a quick shout-out to Jesse Starcher, who is listening. The nights that we do this show happen to be the nights that I work till 7 o'clock.
Me too.
You know, 12-hour days are long. So I come home and like I want to do the show because I want to hang out and talk to you and I want to listen to music, but I'm exhausted. So like I don't put a lot of effort into promoting the show. But you know where I fall down, where I fall down, Jesse Starker picks it right back up. Like I just literally like moments before the show started, about 20 minutes, I posted the show and I just scheduled the show on Blog Talk Radio. And that was all I was going to do. I'm like, you know, people can listen to it in the archives. You know, I don't really care if anyone listens to it live. And there's Jesse going, this shall not stand. And he posted it on Facebook. He posted it on the Rattledge and Broadcasting Facebook page. So Jesse Starcher is the hardest working man on the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network. And he gets a shout out as always. All right. I want to talk about this before we jump into the latest Blind Guardian album. That is, I have a new, like, favorite thing in terms of discovering new music. Like, there was a long period that where, because of my drive to Polk County, which, to those of you outside of Florida, was, you know, the infamous 50-mile one-way drive to work, I tended to not listen to music. I tended to listen to the podcast. And because of that, outside of doing research for the show, I tended to not be in search for new music. But now things have changed, and I'm home every 2 days out of the week. So, like, I was home Monday and Tuesday. I'll be home this weekend. And when I'm home, because I'm a good house husband, you know, and I'm taking care of my son, I also clean up the house whenever he takes a nap. And my favorite thing to do is put on the Apple TV radio. So, you know, they have their own basic, like, internet radio feature. Works just the same as Pandora, only you don't get commercials. And you know, it's so that you'll be inspired to, like, buy the tracks as you listen to them if you hear something that you like, which I'm never going to do because Spotify exists. But that's not the point. The point is, while I'm cleaning the house, I'll put on the Apple TV metal radio, and I have discovered a lot of new music this way recently. Like, and I'm probably going to say this to you, and God only knows what you're going to think, but I discovered Avalon and Kubla Khan this way. Like, I'll just be kind of – it'll be just background noise, and then suddenly I'll hear this song, and I'm like, holy shit, that's the jam. And, you know, and as I posted on Facebook recently, I call it, you know, the house cleaning jam of the week.
I think I've heard of both bands. I've never listened to them.
They were quite good. So this week's house cleaning jam of the week was, I think it was a Ghost Stories Part 3 from Kubla Khan. And you can check it out on my Facebook page. As soon as I heard it, I Shazammed it. The last time I found something, it was actually Hail the Apocalypse by Avalon, both of which are now on my workout mix. So whenever I go to the Y and lift weights, I have this huge workout playlist that I listen to, which is all like heavy, you know, fast heavy metal, a lot of bro-tastic stuff, you know, because that's what you need when you lifting weights. A lot of bro-tastic music, like Hatebreed.
Yeah, you gotta get that testosterone pumping.
That's right. I'm trying to convince my wife to buy me $250 tickets for a 2-day festival in Jacksonville so I can see Slipknot and Hatebreed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Because those aren't the only two bands. It's a 2-day festival. The first night is headlined by like Slayer and Ministry, and there's a bunch of other bands. And the second night is Slipknot and I know Hatebreed's on there and a bunch of other bands.
It sounds like Carolina Rebellion, where like the first half of day one's a bunch of 80s bands, then a bunch of bro bands and Papa Roach and shit. And the second
day is
old thrash bands, and then more bro bands. And I was like,
welcome to Rockville. Welcome to Rockville. Line up. Boop-boo. Saturday, April 25th. Okay, this is in Jacksonville, Florida. April 25th, Korn, Marilyn Manson, Slayer, Ministry, Hailstorm, Of Mice and Men, Scott Whelan and the Wildabouts, Queensryche, Live, Hollywood Undead, Suicidal Tendencies, Testament, The Devil Wears Prada, Periphery, Fozzy, Nonpoint, Exodus, Upon a Burning Body, Beartooth, Red Sun Rising, and World Gone. And then here's the Sunday night lineup. Slipknot, Godsmack, Slash, Breaking Benjamin, Papa Roach, The Pretty Reckless, In This Moment, Starset, In Flames, Motionless in White, Tremonti, All That Remains, Hatebreed, Butcher Babies, Vamps, The Young Guns, We Are Harlot, Like a Storm, 68, Islander, From Ashes to New, and Sons of Texas.
God, that Sunday lineup sounds like shit.
Well, you know, I'm going for Hatebreed and for Slipknot.
God, that sounds like the worst. God, I feel like I want to fucking shoot half the audience there.
All right. Listen. So, way back when I was still living in New York, and Chuck Nineveling used to work at Caroline Records as a buyer, he would always hit me to the newest music and get me promos. And one of the ones he got me was like a single for this band called Blind Guardian. And he was telling me about them. He was like, I think you're going to like this. I like to call it music for D&D nerds, or, you know, music to play D&D to. And he said, whenever we have Blind Guardian playing in the office, I feel like I should jump on my horse and go, "Hya, to the fax machine." And that was how I was introduced to Blind Guardian back in the early 2000s. So ever since then, I've become a huge fan of Blind Guardian. I've seen them live. They're a great band. Tobias Sammet, who, let me make sure I've got the right guy here. Hang on. Shit. Back. No. No. There we go. Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else. Blind Guardian, you know, always came across, you know, much like Tobias Sammet's Avantasia as sort of a heavy metal opera. And, you know, Blind Guardian really took the concept of progressive music, you know, progressive metal, and they didn't do the Dragon Force thing, which is, you know, sort of speed for speed's sake. They took the music and said, you know, can we turn this into like a real musical? And that's what they were able to accomplish. And since the Blind Guardian is probably some of the most powerful music I've ever heard in my life. Just absolutely insane. They've released a new album called on January 30th, called Beyond the Red Mirror. It's a sequel to 1995's Imaginations from the Other Side, and it's pretty amazing. So let's go ahead and jump right into this, and we'll get some reactions here from the Cooper. This is, we'll play a little bit of the intro now. This is the Ninth Wave. With Blind Guardian, it's very easy to picture like people singing this on a stage. And you're like, okay, well, it's a band, it's a rock band. Duh. No, that's not what I mean. I think it's very easy to sort of picture this being turned into an actual musical. Yeah. They're a very, very like over the top theatrical band. But it works, and they're probably one of the more interesting bands going today. What do you think of this first track, The Ninth Wave?
Well, first I'll mention what I think about Blind Guardian. I didn't get to mention what I think about Blind Guardian. Ooh, oh, So I mean, I got interested in them through Demons and Wizards. You know that band, right?
Oh, yeah, they do a Boss cover of, I said Boss, a Boss cover of Cream's what you call it, White Room.
Oh, I've not heard that. Yeah, they're pretty awesome. Because I was really into it.
All right.
So much.
Then while you start talking, I'm gonna find it for you.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm really into Iced Earth, and I went to find what else John Schaefer did, and I was like, oh, okay, Demons and Wizards. And this guy in community college is like, yeah, man, Hanzi's the singer from Blind Guardian. They're awesome. So I'm like, okay. So I listened to a few songs. I liked them. And then I was reading Dan Haggerty's Mosh Pit column, a very common occurrence for me. And he was talking about his favorite concept album of all time was Nightfall in Middle Earth by Blind Guardian. So I'm like, shit, I got to listen to this. And I was fucking blown away. Like, seriously, that album is perfection. Especially if you've never read Lord of the Rings. Actually, it's even better if you've read Lord of the Rings, because it's actually the Silmarillion. That's right. They made the Silmarillion interesting, which is hard to do. neither of my parents ever finished the Silmarillion. Both, well, Lord of the Rings couldn't do the Silmarillion. So, I mean, yeah, that was awesome, and I've bought a few of their albums since, and I really enjoy them. They're just very interesting, and while they're not my favorite car driving music, because it's unless it's like Nightfall in Middle Earth, I can listen to that album over and over. But a lot of their stuff, it's like, because they have those very long operatic passages. When I'm driving, oftentimes I want to kind of headbang, you know how it is. But you know, there's times I'm like, I want to listen to fucking Blind Guardian, and I throw them on, and they're on my fucking CD player in my car for a week. They're just so good. But as for this first song, it started, and I was like, okay, this is. You know, this is kind of what I expected. And it kept going and going and going, but it didn't feel like it kept going. You know, like, it didn't feel like a 9-minute song. It was really impressive. Like, it's a great song. See, I wish I'd have sat down and did lyrical analysis, because unfortunately, unlike with Napalm Death, where I can skim the lyrics while you're playing the song, this is like reading a fucking novel. Like, there are so many. Like, really, like, because I was reading along with the lyrics while I was listening to the first half of the album, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, this goes on forever, just in terms of, like, lyrical content. And it doesn't really repeat all that much. It's like telling a story. Who'd have thought?
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Beyond the Red Mirror, as I said before, is a concept album and a sequel to Imaginations from the Other Side. It's a story between, as Hansi Krush has said, it's a story between science fiction and fantasy. The two worlds described have changed dramatically for the worse since then. While there used to be several passages between the worlds, there's only one gate left now, the Red Mirror, and it has to be found at any cost. They actually, in that respect, kind of remind me of Clutch, you know, because that's kind of a Clutch thing where they're not just kind of putting together songs. They're Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails did a similar thing with one of his albums, the Downward Spiral, where every song sort of a chapter in a large story. So this one, Beyond the Red Mirror, is actually broken up into several chapters. The first two songs are part of the first chapter, The Cleansing of the Promised Land, and then it kind of goes on from there. Real quick, just because I apparently have ADD. And as soon as you said that you hadn't heard their cover, Demons and Wizards cover of White Room, I said, oh, you've got to hear this. So instead of doing like a normal thing and playing the next song, Twilight of the Gods, which was their first single, we're going to hear Demons and Wizards White Room instead.
Thank you.
goes on like that.
That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
I could dig that.
All right. Before the album came out on January 30th, they released one single from Beyond the Red Mirror. That was December 5th, 2014. And it's the fucking jam. This is the hot note. This is Twilight of the Gods. About Blind Guardian, this is a really good example of it, is they don't get too lost in their own sort of bullshit. You know, they're still making heavy, rocking, good music. I mean, I listen to Twilight of the Gods, and all I can imagine is, you know, four Nordic gods standing on stage, jamming out with their instruments and hair going every which way.
Yeah, like, they never kind of forgot their earlier stuff, that speed metal.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I mean, there's some albums where you don't really find much of it, but there's still traces and elements of it in almost every one of their albums. And it's nice. It's nice to see a band not turn their backs on something that they can still do well and integrate really well into what they do already.
Yeah, Blind Guardian really know where their bread's buttered, and they don't lose sight of that, which is a great thing. While still making interesting music, you know, we talked about with the downside to reviewing a Napalm Death album is after a while it all starts to sound like a Napalm Death album. Whereas Blind Guardian, they're willing to take some interesting twists and turns with their music. Let's go on to track three here. This is Prophecies.
I can see a crow on your judgment day.
It's like a summon.
Please come over, don't come over, please come over.
Welcome along, stay over. We'll be right back.
your thoughts?
It's again just another different song. It had a different opening, and it still sounded unique from the other songs. I mean, shit, we are almost 15 minutes of music into this album, and nothing's really sounded the same. Like, yeah, there's a few flashes that I'm like, okay, that sounded kind of like earlier, but it's the same in a way that it's like cohesive, like, you know, that you can tell it's telling the same story, but it's a really just unique song. It's nice. It's great. And Jesus, so many words. Oh, it's like a book. I'm telling you, it's like a book.
Read a book. Yep. This goes back to what I was saying about bands who really are able to take just about anything out of our culture and turn it into an album. They are unsung heroes and geniuses of the music world. And it's a shame because, you know, metal is such an extreme genre of music, you know, in the sense that it's not palatable to a lot of the mainstream. So, you know, people, you know, they don't like metal, so they'll never know how good this band is. And that's a shame because I think they transcend metal in that sense. I mean, they're not just playing three chords. You know what I mean? They truly are masters of their craft. Let's go ahead, and I'll give you an opportunity to respond to that after this next song. This is at the Edge of Time. His favorite song, At the Edge of Time. What are your thoughts?
I really enjoy this song. I like the way he describes it, actually, that it's like it escalates. You know, I know you talked about a musical earlier. This song feels like it should be in a musical. Like, you know, in like a musical, oftentimes, like a song starts kind of low key and then starts building and building and building until it's some grand, like, huge celebration. You know, like,
I was thinking Les Miserables.
Just Can't Wait to Be King from The Lion King.
That's for goodness sake.
Oh, come on. You don't love The Lion King?
I like The Lion King just fine. Have you ever heard the Confused Matthew review of The Lion King?
No, I should.
Yes, you should. You should first of all, you should see any honest trailer, but you should absolutely check out the online version of that, because it's been changed recently. But anyway, all right. Before I pass out, let's go ahead and listen to another track here. This is track 5, Ashes of Eternity. Musical, that totally would be the song that would play right before intermission.
Yeah, because it was like heavy as shit and it had a few like folkier elements to it.
Like, but not only that,
instrumentation.
But it also, like, it starts off as like the one singular voice and then like the whole chorus comes out. You know, like, I feel like it would be the one number where they'd get out the entire cast and, you know, fill up the stage with voices, and then, you know, they'd end real big, and then the lights would come on, and you'd be like, okay, everyone hit the bathrooms.
All right, shit and break, everybody, or as we like to call that, the Divas match on Raw.
I don't want to talk about it. There's only one wrestling program out there right now, and it's called NXT.
Oh, well, and there's New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV.
Never heard of it.
You know, remember New Japan? Yeah, that thing that you're like last time, you're like, yeah, I might give that a shot. It's on Friday nights, right?
I think the last Friday night that I was actually home watching TV, I decided to do like my own little movie mini marathon, and I watched Justice League War and then Justice League Throne of Atlantis.
I don't think I've seen either of those. I need to. Yeah, you should watch New Japan. It's pretty damn good.
I think the next time I'm home on a Friday night, which will be tomorrow night, I'm probably gonna watch Nightcrawlers and or Birdman.
Ooh, Nightcrawler's really good, and Birdman just got to the 250 theater down the road here, so I'm definitely gonna see that.
Yeah, so I don't think I'll be watching the New Japan. Yeah, I'll just stick with the NXT.
You can DVR it. Or I could send you links to it on the internet for you to watch it.
So not only was I doing Finn Balor's entrance all over the house last night and all up in my wife's grill, but during the tag team match, I was dropping elbows on Jonas while changing his diaper.
Were you botching the whole time just like they were?
No. I just, I put him on his back to change his diaper, and I thought, you know, and, yeah, you know, he likes my play with him. He's definitely a roughhouse kind of boy, you know, even at 10 months. Yep, my little boo-boo is going to be 10 months in just a few hours. He was born on the 13th, so Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, not when he was born, but tomorrow is Friday the 13th, depending on when you're listening to this, could be today. And he was born on the 13th of April, so he's 10 months old, and he's definitely a rough and tumble kind of kid. Yeah, he likes it raw. Baby, I like it raw. Anyway, so, you know, so he likes it when, you know, like I throw him up in the air or, you know, like we like play wrestle, stuff like that. You know, he likes it. So I was dropping elbows on him while I was changing his diaper, and he just thought that was the funniest thing.
Nice.
I do that with my daughter too. I give her the clothesline from hell a lot. Like, you know, when it's time for her to go to bed, and she'll be up, you know, and she's really hyper, she'll be jumping on her bed, you know, jumping up and down, and I'll just give her a clothesline from hell. And she's like, oh, all right then. Time for me to go to bed.
Nice.
That's metal right there.
That is metal. You should power bomb her someday.
I have.
There you go.
Right on the couch. All right. Next time I'm gonna do it Kevin Owens style and just have it so her head hits the couch.
Oof. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the title match change hands or title change hands by KO.
It's a rare finish, but I've seen it before. And speaking of rare finishes, this is track 6, the Holy Grail.
Thank you.
2 picks up with the Holy Grail. Excellent song. All Music scored this album 4 stars out of 5, and Blabbermouth.net gave it a 9.5 out of 10.
Nice. 4 out of 5 is kind of low.
Really?
No, I mean, it's not, like, super low. I'm just kind of comparing it to, like, I would definitely give it 4.5.
You think it's,
so, like, kinda,
so far,
kind of underselling.
Can we absolutely say that so far this has been the best album of the year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really loving it. It's really good up to this point. It still gets even better, imagine that.
Have you ever heard their cover of Mr. Sandman? Or Dream
yeah,
a Little
yeah,
Dream?
Yeah, actually, I did a weird top 5 list or something for 411 that had Mr. Sandman on it. With, like, weird covers.
Okay. They also do Barbara Ann. Barbara Ann.
Yeah, I've heard that one. That's like the weirdest covers. Bunch of German weirdos.
Sure. So, yeah, by the way, I was thinking of Tobias Sammon from Ed Guy earlier when I was thinking of Avantasia, which is the actual metal opera, as it's known. Really good stuff there. But, you know, Blind Guardian also manages to accomplish a very similar feel with their music. All right. So we're going to move on here to track 7. This is The Throne. More of your thoughts, sir.
This was another one of those really just epic songs. I know epic is a very broad and overused term. God, it is such an overused term. But, I mean, this song here, wow. I mean, it's 8 minutes long. It doesn't feel like that at all. It just, I mean, it's just so fucking amazing. It's like a lot of this album. It feels like you said, like a musical, like, I feel like I'm listening to something really interesting and special, and I'm just blown away by it, really.
Yeah. So I'm distracted by our next, what we're going to be doing in 2 weeks. We're going to be listening to the new Ensferum album, and they have a bonus track, Rawhide, and I need to know. I can't take it. I need to know if it's, like, the cover of Rawhide or if it's a new song.
I mean, that's a dish.
And I can't... Mm-hmm. Right now, I can't find, like, you know, any kind of credits to let me know what it is exactly. So we'll talk about that in a little while, though. We're going to keep right on rocking here with Beyond the Red Mirror. The story continues. We are up to Chapter 7, The Fallen and Chosen One, which is actually in our list, Track 8. This is Sacred Mind.
TheMetalSucks.net review of the album.
Oh, you don't have audio?
No, but they did.
Metal Sucks S-U-X or Metal Sucks C-K-S?
C-K-S, like, suck blow, yeah. MetalSucks.net. It says the whole thing ends with a cover of the Rawhide theme. Shit, you're not.
let's see here. I can't seem to find this now, but, and I'm sure people really don't want to hear me, like, you know, check, people don't want to hear me surfing the net. So I'll have to look for that when I have a chance. But yes, so when it comes out on, I believe, February 23rd, Spotify, for people who run that website, you need to make sure the cover of Rawhide is available. See, I can't accept any less than that.
I agree, even though I've never seen or heard of Rawhide.
Dun, 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 Rawhide. Pick him up, hit him out. Dun, 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 Rawhide.
Nope. I don't really care for Westerns.
Rawhide. Someone else did one. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of M.O.D.'s cover of Bonanza. Have you ever heard it?
No.
You've never heard Bonanza?
I've never watched Bonanza either.
All right, well, we're going to hear Miracle Machine. Meanwhile, so that gives me enough time to get you the Bonanza.
When they are coming, give us guidance, for they are calling to erase the dam. Yet
ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty.
To erase the dam. They will return. Now let me take you to the other side. Turn off the light and let it grow. They will set it on fire. They come to fool us all. They are slaves to the fire. You know their fire must grow. They have to feed us. We must believe in something that I would call a miracle.
You to trespass on my land, you sod-wadded rattlesnake son of a bitch. Son of a bitches.
We'll be right back.
Finanza.
Okay.
you seem a little dumbfounded.
I never watched Bonanza. I knew it was on TV all the time when I was a kid and probably still on TV, but I could not care less about Bonanza.
I like MOD's cover of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was Lowell. I mean, I love when bands do, like, troll covers. Like, it makes my day. Because, Arsis doing Corey Hart's Sunglasses at Night, you know, stuff like that. I just never got into Westerns. Now, Easterns, I could watch Easterns all day. Yeah, samurai movies. Love them.
Sure. Well, I have, as we know, you've heard me mention it once or twice, I've got kids. And I like to put them on my knee and give them horsey rides. And I give them horsey rides to MOD's Bonanza.
You should give them horsey rides. You should give them horsey rides to nuclear assault hang the Pope.
They're just children, Robert Cooper. All right, before I literally pass out nose first into the keyboard, here's our last track of the night. This is Blind Guardian Grand Parade. Here it is, the final conclusion. Question for you. I think we can both agree that this album is a 9.5 out of 10. It's an 8. You know, it's definitely a solid A. I'll let you kind of give the last 50 words or less on this, but I have a more important question to ask you before we end the show tonight. What do you think of Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Oh, dude, I am so fucking psyched. Like, both my parents were like, so? It doesn't fucking matter. But me, I'm like, dude, Spider-Man, come on. Like, he's always one of the more interesting parts of any team-up because he's so different from a lot of the other characters. Like, a lot of these people are gods or duty-bound or feel guilty about, I don't know, being they should be saving people. And Peter Parker, yeah, he's a little guilty, but really he's just a guy. And it's really cool just to see a guy, some smart-ass guy, get everybody's superhero pudding. Love it. I am just, I am over the moon.
Well, there's talk about still wanting to do a Sinister Six movie and a Venom movie. And if I were Sony and Marvel, here's how I would do it. I would actually do, because now there's going to be a new Spider-Man movie with someone new playing Spider-Man. But presumably it's going to be Peter Parker, not Miles Morales. I think they might be saving that for something else. But I think what they should do is just have a new Spider-Man somewhat continuing off of, maybe do like a soft reboot of the series, but have him fight the Sinister Six. Have him fight the Sinister Six. Have Venom in the story, but have that version as Eddie Brock. And by the end of it, have the suit kind of given to S.H.I.E.L.D. And introduce, you know, a Flash Thompson that can eventually take the Venom suit. And then when you do the Sinister Six movie, make it like the Thunderbolts. You know, make it, or the Suicide Squad. Where basically, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. needs a Black Ops team to go and do whatever. But they want criminals instead of heroes because it's a dirty job. And so it's like, these are all guys that Spider-Man took down in his Spider-Man movie that comes out in 2017. So let the, you know, because otherwise I don't understand how they're going to do a movie based on all villains if they're not going to make them like a Suicide Squad type of team.
Yeah. Yeah, first I misheard you and thought you said like a Thunderbirds team, and I'm like, we're going to make them puppets and throw them in planes?
They're going to be the Silver Hawks.
Yes. And then they could be like the SWAT Cats. Yay, the Radical Quadrants. But yeah,
no,
I can see that. I really hope the next Spider-Man movie isn't a damn origin story, because we fucking
know Peter
Parker.
From what I understand, it's going to be like a soft reboot, where they're going to continue with that universe and sort of meld it into the Marvel universe, but they're not going to continue with Andrew Garfield. Like I said, have him just fight the Sinister Six, have Eddie Brock as Venom, have him defeat Eddie Brock, and, you know, and then have the suit be given to S.H.I.E.L.D. so that when you do a solo Venom movie, you do it with Flash Thompson, which would make a little bit more sense. In the comic book, actually, Flash Thompson as Venom is actually in the Thunderbolts.
Oh, cool.
For as long as that team lasted.
Oh, hey, maybe they'll just do what they've been doing with all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. Put it on TV.
I think Jesse Starcher sums it all up very nicely. Oh, dude, if they reboot Spider-Man again, just fucking punch me in the nuts.
Okay, I'll fly up there and do so.
Like I said, I don't think they're going to do an origin story, like I said. I think they're just going to continue to have him... So, and like I said, I don't know what the story is going to be. I'm just spitballing here. But if Sony is looking to do a Sinister Six, they have to use them in the next movie. They can't just do a movie out of the clear blue sky without having brought them out in something else. So I'm going to throw that out there. All right. Any final words on Beyond the Red Mirror? I'm going to let you do the last 50 words. And then we're going to do plugs, and then, for God's sakes, I'm going to bed.
Miracle Machine is one of my favorite songs off this album. It's so pretty and wonderful, and I could listen to it over and over and over again and sing it in my car. Love it so much. And then the finale, the last song. What's the name of the last song? I forget the name of the last song. Oh, yeah, Grand Parade. That's a great name for a last song. It's just it's such an epic kind of closing to this sequel to a concept album that's a concept album. Who'd have thunk it? Concept album, Septon, ooh. Nah, that'd be if we had a concept album and a concept album. Fun, it's just such a rewarding listen. It's one of those, if you just keep listening to it over and over, it's like a good movie. You'll keep finding new things to love about it while still remembering things that you loved about it before. It's just, I love it. Such a good movie. Such a good album. Definitely give it a listen. It's definitely a good, like a good 9 out of 10. I just love it so much.
Okay. In 2 weeks, like I said, we're going to be reviewing the new folk metal album from Ensferum, One Man Army. 2 weeks after that, I believe, if I remember correctly, is the new Prong covers album. See if I'm right about that. Have you figured out what we're doing in March yet?
Oh, no, I haven't even thought about it. I'll get to it, don't worry.
Okay.
I'll look at our calendar. I'll look at the calendar and be like, okay, we'll do it live. Fuck it.
Fuck it, we're doing it live.
We'll do it live.
Okay, I got the calendar right now.
We'll do it live.
Okay, so in 2 weeks, Ensferum, One Man Army, and then Robert has to pick two albums for the month of March, because in April, we'll be doing Nightwish, the new Nightwish album, and maybe we'll get like a million listeners again, and the new Prong covers album. So look for that. Robert, what do you got coming up in your world?
Bradley's Broadcasting Network in general is a nice place. I like it. There's from Cheap Seats, Jesse Starcher, Jason Tingley. Love those guys. They talk sports. Like it. It's fun. There's this podcast. It's pretty good podcast, and these Indifferent Hentai Happy Go Fun Time Japanese podcast, or as I like to call it, Sentai Writer podcast. We planned on recording last week, and I didn't catch up on what I was supposed to catch up on, so we didn't record last week. So hopefully we'll record this week and have you new things like sometime next week or the week after. New episodes of Power Rangers Dino Charge. It's a really good show. Go watch it. No, it's Judd Lynn doing Power Rangers again. The man can do no wrong with Power Rangers. Really love it. And Kamen Rider Drive. Going to catch up on that. So there's that. The Cooperative Multiplayer Podcast every Saturday night, midnight, which, you know, Saturday going in Sunday. Sean Garmer, myself, and Mark Morrison of 411mania.com. Both of them are. That's fun time. If you ever want to hear me ramble for an hour and a half about video games, so half the time it's not about video games. There you go. I mean, hey, it's a really fun podcast. It's on Spreaker.com on the, I think the co-op multi page. I'm thinking so. But yeah, it's, if you ever want to hear me not talk about video games and not for like the next 30 minutes, it's great.
All right. Well, Monday night, I will be taking my family to Monday Night Raw in Orlando. I got my son a little onesie that says, "Eat, sleep, poop, repeat." So, and if they're selling a Kevin Owens KO T-shirt, I may have to pick one up. Otherwise, I'll probably be wearing my Big Boss Man T-shirt. Besides that, a week from tonight, back on our regularly scheduled time, Sean Comer and I will be on the Long Road to Ruin, and we'll be tackling another Marvel franchise, Blade, starring Wesley Sniper. Wesley Sniper. Oof, I got to go to bed.
Wesley Sniper. Wow. The only thing he snipes are the tax collectors.
Yes, Wesley Snipes. So so we'll be doing Blade, and then 2 weeks after that, I believe, is The Crow. Let me make sure I'm right about that. Yes. Actually, I'm off by a week. This Thursday coming up, a week from today, is Rocky 5 and 6. And then Blade, and then The Crow. Oof. So check out all those. For those of you looking to hear me on the WrestleCast, I am taking a short break from doing that. They recorded tonight, so there should be a show up soon with Pat Mullen, Jed, and Gavin. I elected not to participate, and I don't think I'll be recording with them. I'm not going to make any disparaging remarks about those fellows. I just suffice to say, I've had my fill of those folks for a little while, and I need a break. As I told Gavin, it's not you, it's me. I just need some space. So I'll be taking a break. Yeah, I'll be taking a break from the Casual Heroes for a little while. We'll see what happens around WrestleMania time, but I needed to not be recording with those guys for a little bit. In the meantime, you know, we'll still be doing my two shows, Metal Hammer of Doom with Robert Cooper here, and the Long Road to Ruin with Sean Comer, and that's our plan for the next couple of weeks. So
and the Whiskey Rebellion died yet again.
You know, we're just trying to figure. The problem is, and Gavin actually brought this up, he was like, well, you know, we need to find a day that we can record. I'm like, well, it had been Tuesdays, but, you know, we keep switching the day that we're going to record. There's no set day that we record the WrestleCast, so it's hard to come up with a schedule. Like, they're recording tonight, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to not do this show. You know, this show's day is Thursday, and if we don't do the show when we're supposed to, then I'm not going to participate. So even if I wasn't needing to take a break from those guys, I still wouldn't have participated. So with that said, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. Fun show as always. I'm trying to keep the show to 90 minutes flat so that I don't pass out in the middle of it like we did with Type 1 Negative. Or I don't start spouting gibberish.
That was funny. There was once I was recording the Wrestling to the Max podcast with Sean Garmer, and I fell asleep. And they were like, Sean asked later, like, what happened? Like, all you heard from my computer was, smack, because I fell asleep, like, trying to, like, with my hands at the keyboard, and I ended up, when my head went down, my hand slapped the keyboard as hard as it could.
Yeah, I've passed out on one or two of these. I don't want to keep doing that. So, for Robert Cooper, this is the Metal Haver of Doom, and I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, Mr. Mark Rattledge. Until next time, be well, be safe, and behave.